Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Like an eagle. I've been talking to you the last couple weeks about eagles. Eagles are magnificent. They're exquisite. You know, when you go to study the Bible, sometimes you just need to do, you know, a key word study or a thematic study or a study of an entire book or a character. But then there are times where you need to do a study on the animals of the Bible, right? And so the last couple weeks have been cool looking at eagles. I think the next animal at some point I may really want to study is the ant. The Bible has a lot to talk about ants, especially in Proverbs. It says, consider the ant. And if I do this study on the ant, I think the theme song I'm going to have to use for that is the theme from the Pink Panther. Dead ant, dead ant, dead ant, dead ant, dead ant, dead ant. Okay. It's a corny pastor joke. The eagle is an impressive creature of the air, and that's why the Bible repeatedly refers to the eagle. I've shown you a couple of videos in this series. I'm going to show you another video here this morning. This is about a five-minute video. This is produced by BBC Earth, and what they do in this video is they have a bird specialist attach a 360-degree camera on an eagle. And so you get to see what it's like to fly from the perspective of an eagle. And so they look at it and they have the scientific measurements and the physics involved and all that. So I thought you might enjoy it. It's only about 5 minutes long, but I believe it will give us a greater appreciation of these exquisite birds of the air and why the scriptures continually recall our attention to the eagle. Check this out.
To find out the science behind this superpower, Lloyd wants to put Tilly to the test. He's fitting her with a highly accurate GPS tracker to measure how fast she can gain altitude, and a 360-degree camera to see exactly how her wings are adapted to soaring.
We'll know exactly what you get up to. Eh?
You're a good girl.
Yes. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Go on, off you go. Go on.
Tilly soon finds an updraft and soars high above the glen.
You make it look so easy, eh?
The onboard camera provides a wonderful opportunity to see the world from an eagle's perspective. Throughout the flight, the GPS tracker and accelerometer on her back are collecting important information.
clever eagle.
And Professor Jim Usherwood, a locomotion specialist, can help interpret the findings.
Well, it's really exciting, especially having the video next to it. You can really see what's happening all the way through. Where you can see her climbing, circling 7 times, and then reaching quite a height, really very quickly. She's doing, 3, 4, 5 metres a second up. And that's fast. That's sort of 8, 9, 10 miles an hour, up. Imagine running up a ladder that fast.
So she's climbing quickly.
Really fast, while hardly travelling across the ground at all.
Tilly climbs without flapping her wings, saving huge amounts of energy. Eagles are able to ride the air currents effectively thanks to their large wing area. But the shape of their wing is different to that of many soaring specialists. Albatross have very long, narrow wings, which generate a lot of lift for relatively small amounts of drag. It makes them brilliant at gliding. But this wing shape is no good to eagles.
Long wings are very good for gliding and soaring, but they're horrible for flapping. And of course, this thing at some point will need to flap.
Yeah.
So it'll need to flap to take off, carry the weaponry to kill something, and then carry that food back home. At which point, you don't actually want super long wings.
Eagles have to deal with some conflicting tasks. To soar well, it's best to be lightweight, with extremely long wings. But to hunt large prey, it's important to be powerful and heavy, with shorter, broad wings that can flap and take off with big loads. Eagles manage to achieve both. But how? The secret is at the end of their wings. From the onboard camera, it's clear that the feathers on her wingtips are separated when she flies. Each one of these primary feathers acts like a tiny aerofoil, helping air hug the upper surface of the wing. It means eagles can tilt their wings at very steep angles on takeoff, generating lots of lift to support a heavy load. It's also thought these slotted wingtips can reduce elements of drag, helping them soar with greater efficiency. It's a clever solution for a wing that has to perform so many tasks, helping them harness air currents and dominate the skies.
I find that fascinating, pretty incredible. And it's incredible in that, as we design our flight machines, our airplanes, who do you think we modeled after to be able to, for us to fly? It's pretty fascinating stuff. Let's look again into the scriptures, why it is that God wants us to soar and fly like the eagle. Turn to Psalm 103. This is one of my all-time favorite chapters in the Bible. It really is. The entire Bible is inspired, but not all chapters are equally inspiring. You can read through Numbers chapter 1 and you're probably not going to get very inspired, okay? But you read through a chapter like Psalm 103, and man, that'll just fire you up and inspire you. And I want to read the first 12 verses to you. Go home and read the rest of the chapter. It's an incredible chapter. But let's give our attention to God's Word. Psalm 103, beginning at verse 1. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. Can I hear an amen for that? Or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Oh God, we thank you for your loving, compassionate, forgiving nature, who accomplishes all these things on our behalf. We are lost and lonely and hurting without you, and you come in and you do in us a work that we could never do on our own. The scriptures make clear here and in other places, you desire for your people to fly like the eagle. And as we just saw, the eagle is magnificent, beautiful creature of the air, soars high above, magnificent, exquisite. You desire for your people to fly like the eagle. Help us, Lord, be all that you desire for us to be. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. To be fair, there are times in the Bible that eagles are equated with disaster and ruin. Let me just give you three examples. In Obadiah chapter 1, verse 4, we read this. Though you soar like the eagle and make your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down. You see, pride had gotten in, and God's people had become so prideful that even though they were soaring like the eagle, it was their pride that brought them down. Deuteronomy chapter 28 is another example. Let me just read Deuteronomy 28:49 to you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from far away, from the ends of the earth, like an eagle swooping down, a nation whose language you will not understand, a fierce-looking nation without respect for the old or pity for the young. They will devour you. Again, because of God's people living in disobedience, God equates the invasion of another nation like an eagle coming in a disastrous way. And one more example in Lamentations chapter 4, verse 19. Our pursuers were swifter than eagles in the sky. They chased us over the mountains and lay in wait for us in the desert. And so those are just a couple of examples where eagles are used in a sense where pride can become our downfall. But as we've been looking at the last couple of weeks, it's God's desire for us to be like the eagle, to fly, to soar, to rise above. How do we get to that point? How does a person get to that point where they are soaring like an eagle? Well, it takes baby steps. So as some of you know, our granddaughter just turned one a few days ago, and Caleb and Carissa are visiting from Kansas. He's in the Army. He's stationed there at Fort Riley. And they came last week, and we celebrated her one-year-old birthday, and she is just a joy and a delight and a blessing. She's one, so she's not walking yet on her own. She's learning to walk. She needs help. And so grandma or dad or mom or grandpa will stand behind her and hold her hand, and she will take those wobbly steps. And it's fun and it's cute And it's heartbreaking when she falls, but she picks herself back up. And pretty soon here, she's going to start walking on her own. I asked Renee how old Caleb was when he started walking on his own, because I don't remember, but, you know, moms remember these things. And she said he was 13 months old when he started walking on his own. And so, you know, girls are smarter than boys. And so I'm calling it right here. She's going to start walking before her daddy did. And that's going to be anytime soon. But this human development takes time. You're not born and you just start walking. You start to crawl and you start to have movement. And it takes time. And the same is true when it comes in our journey with God. We're not born and then ready to fly. We see it out in nature as the mother bird, you know, kind of teaches their young, you know, gets them out of the nest and teaches them and feeds them and nurtures them so that they then eventually can fly on their own. And in our walk with God, in our journey with God, it takes time. It takes maturity. And one of the beautiful things here in this passage, in Psalm 103, is that the psalmist here lays out for us pretty clearly the progression it will take for a person to get from the point where they are helpless to the point where eventually they can fly. And it begins with praise. That's how the psalmist begins in Psalm 103. Three times he opens the psalm with praise, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That's how this chapter opens. Praise is the catalyst that will not only get us to the point where eventually we will fly like the eagle, but praise will sustain us in our journey and in our walk with God. And then he very systematically lays out for us the progression of how we're going to get from point A to point D, to the point where we can fly. And so after he talks about praising, he says, "People of God, do not forget the benefits of God, who, number one, forgives all your sins." That's the starting point. Is we have to recognize that we are sinners. We are broken. And we need a Savior who will forgive us of our sin. Sin is brokenness. And when we are broken, we break things around us. And we tend to break other people. We break relationships. Sin is very destructive. By its very nature, sin alienates us from God and alienates us from each other. You may have seen on the news this shooting that occurred not too far from here on Market Street. I think it was Thursday morning. It was about 8 in the morning, and I was actually driving from Valley River area to the church. And I was on the Beltline, and these cop cars just flew right past me. And then when I got off on Mohawk and I drove right by, I saw all the ambulance and the police officers. I didn't know what was going on. But apparently, there was a disturbance in the streets. The police showed up. The guy went back in his house, and according to the news reports, he fired around 30 rounds and unfortunately hit one of the officers. The officer's okay. Just carnage. And it was really scary because we used to live right there in that area. When we moved here, we lived in that area for about 6 months until our house was being built out in the Thurston area. So we lived just a few houses down from where all that happened many years ago. Very scary. And because his name is all over the news, the guy's name is Michael Gross. And they've arrested him, and I'm going to use this gentleman as an example as we're working through our scripture here. Here's a man, and we don't know his situation. Obviously, there's something wrong. There could be some mental issues. But if you're going to fire 30 rounds and hit an officer, something is wrong. If you're going to cause such carnage and disruption in the neighborhood, something is terribly wrong. That's certainly not God's will for this man's life. This man's a sinner, and he hurt people. And hurt people hurt people. And so step one for this man, he's obviously not flying like an eagle. He's not living in God's will. Step one is he needs to be forgiven of his sins. He needs to recognize that something is deeply broken within him. Because, well, people don't do what this man did. And I'm just using his as an example. It's an extreme example, I get it, but it's recent. It's right here in our neighborhood. He needs to be forgiven of his sins. All of us need to be forgiven of our sins. Thanks be to God, he sent a Savior named Jesus to do exactly that. And our world, our community, is in desperate need of Jesus, who alone can save us of our sins. The next thing that the psalmist clearly lays out here is that he heals all of our diseases. If sin is brokenness, then there needs to be healing that takes place due to that brokenness. It's not a coincidence that Jesus is called the great physician. He is the healer. And so what God does is after he saves us, he begins the process of healing us and restoring us and nurturing us and making us well. We're not ready to fly yet because we need to be healed. And some people have such deep wounds that that healing process will take quite a bit of time. But thanks be to God, he heals us from that which ails us. And he begins to slowly put the pieces back together and restores us and makes us well. And so because of the effects of sin, we all need to be healed. And thanks be to God, he is the great physician. The next thing that the psalmist clearly lays out, the next progression in our journey with God is that God will redeem our life from the pit. That word redeem means to buy back, to rescue back. He will rescue us from where? The pit. From where we've hit rock bottom. This man sitting in jail, hopefully he realizes he has hit rock bottom. We've all been there. Every one of us have. That's the result of sin and brokenness. We find our life in the pit of despair. And one of the beautiful things that God does for us, he saves us, he begins to heal us, and then he redeems us from that pit of despair that we find ourselves in. But we're not ready to fly yet. We're getting there. There's a progression. God's not giving up on us because he wants to see us fly. But we've got to learn to walk with him. We've got to be healed. Our lives need to be redeemed and rescued from the pit. And then when God lifts us from the pit, after having hit rock bottom, he then puts a crown on us and crowns us with love and compassion. These dual elements that we absolutely need to receive from God the Father to be made well, to be restored, to be made whole. And it's a divine love unlike anything we've ever experienced. Let me tell you, when you are in the presence of God's divine love and you experience his forgiving compassion and his restorative power, you have a hope that you've not had before. You've got a reason to live and you've got a reason to fly. And God gives you a place of honor, whereas others may have dismissed you or abused you or hurt you or kicked you when you were down. God picks you up out of the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. But we're not ready to fly yet. We're getting there. We're getting closer. Look what else he does. He satisfies your desires with good things. Whereas once we desired the things of this world that left us empty and longing and broken and addicted, we ran after those things. We sought satisfaction from the things of this world that still left us empty. What God does is he fills our soul, he fills our life with his eternal presence that satisfies us in a way that only God can. And the only way the psalmist here can describe it is it's good. When God fills you with his presence, it's good. and it's lasting and it's fulfilling and it's beautiful, and nothing in this world can compare. No amount of money, no amount of pleasure, nothing compares with the goodness of God, in which we rest in God and find our satisfaction in Him. And as we move along with God in this beautiful progression of being forgiven, being healed, being redeemed, being crowned with love and compassion, finding our ultimate satisfaction in Him, now we are ready to fly. He says, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I don't know where you are in this spectrum of progression. Maybe you're at the very beginning and you recognize you need to be forgiven. Your life is broken. And you need God's healing. You need His presence. You need to be redeemed from rock bottom, that pit that you find yourself in. You need to experience the crowning of His love and compassion. You need to find your satisfaction in the goodness of God. Wherever you are on that spectrum, keep trusting in God, because what He wants to do for every single one of us, even this gentleman who's sitting in jail, is get us to that point where we are flying high like the eagle. Amen? This is the purposes and goodness of God. He comes at our lowest point and lifts us up and helps us to fly and soar like the eagle. As we take Holy Communion this morning, it is a response of God's goodness to get us to that point. Communion is a response and a recognition that God is working in our life through Jesus Christ to get us to that point where we are flying high like the eagle.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and East Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.